See, mom knows I gotta be patient. I don't really have no time.
Hi, so my name is Chelsea Howell, and I am a fourth year student at McGill. I'm studying vocal performance at the Shul School of Music. And I was asked to give a little talk about my business and how I run a business while being a student at McGill. So while being a student, I am also an eyelash tech. During the pandemic, I decided to get certified. So it was about a month-long course where I just learned different eyelash techniques and skills. And I just got my certification like that. And I did that while in New York, because during the pandemic year, there was kind of not much to do. So I was like, might as well learn a new skill. And because school was online, I had a little bit more free time. So after getting certified, it was a really big struggle to get in clients because, you know, being new at anything, like, nobody really trusts you and you don't have any, like, reputation. So I kind of had to build it up. So at first, I would just do a lot of practice eyelashes on my sisters, cousins, friends, like, whoever wanted eyelashes, I said, like, I could do them. And at first, like, it would take me, like, 10 hours to do a set. So we would do, like, 5 hours, and then we would take a break, and then 5 more hours. But this was just, like, my friends. And it took me a really long time to get the time down, and, like, after looking at different techniques and stuff like that. So I was finally able to get my time down, and I had like a steady flow of clients through my first year in New York, and my parents are like very supportive. So we turned one of the rooms in my house into like a very primitive, albeit, but cute little lash studio. And that's how I ran my first year of business. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about lashing and like the drawbacks, the upsides of it, and basically, yeah. So when I started at McGill, I would be like, oh, like this would be a great opportunity to make some money on the side. So I have an LLC for my business that I set up in New York, and so I just use my same business name here because it hasn't been taken by anyone here. And yeah, and I make sure to look up like all of like the safety standards and the certifications that you need to be a lash tech in Montreal, and it's pretty much the same as in New York. So I started lashing in my in my apartment here. I have a little very, very, very small area that I do lashing in, and while I hope to expand, it's a great start for now. It's clean, it's well lit, and you know, it's ready to take clients. It's been kind of a struggle, you know, starting out here, especially in my first couple months, like, because I really wanted to, like, you know, promote myself. But being a student, like, school comes first always, so it's hard to balance between should I do a set of lashes or should I do my homework. And yeah, so it's been hard to juggle that. But starting the new year 2022, I was like, you know, I really want to brand myself because I know I'm good at doing lashes and I know I'm passionate about this. And I know, like, I love to make women feel beautiful about themselves. And I think that is one of my, like, superpowers as a lash artist. So yeah, basically my main struggle is like being black and being a lash artist is like I just feel like there is an air of unprofessionalism that trails black artists in any sense, like you know, in the beauty industry, like, I don't know, like, you always think that you're, you know, hairstylist is going to be late, or, you know, and I felt like, who should I market to? Do I market to white women or black women or just women in general? Because, it's not really a race thing, but when having a business, a niche is very important, because once you narrow down your niche, it's much easier to promote your business. So you end up promoting it to a specific group, and you're more likely to get clients to come in because it's not as vague, you know, your marketing strategy. So I wanted to promote to like all students, and like I always want to be inclusive to like anybody who wants to get lashes done. Like, you know, it's also good to do lashes on a variety of different races, different types of lashes, because it gives me more experience and I get better as a lash tech. And so my whole thing was, it doesn't matter like what you look like, anybody can be on my page. And I love the fact that I have so many different types of women on my page, but I was really reluctant to show myself. Like, I didn't want to show myself, like, you know, I'm black. Like, I didn't, well, you don't have to show yourself on your lash page. But if I'm going to be honest, I was reluctant in showing my face because I didn't want people to not trust me because of my skin color, you know, because for some people that may be a turnoff subconsciously or consciously, you know, like we have our inherent biases, and I didn't want my color to you know, discourage somebody from booking with me. So for a long time I didn't post myself on my page for a good year. And then I was talking to a friend, and she has a really great eye for color and art and design, and I said, like, what should I put on my page? Like, I have no idea what exactly I want to do. Like, I don't know how I can draw people in, you know, because I felt like I was missing the mark when it came to my my color niche, my design niche, like exactly where I wanted to pinpoint my focus on to make my you know, Instagram page more cohesive. And so she said, you know what, I think you need to focus on three things. You can focus on yourself working, and you need people to take pictures of you while you work, take close-up shots, and then you can take videos so that you can show like your lashes from all aspects. And so I said, okay, like, no problem, like, sounds good. But then I was like, I told her, and like, she's, my friend is black, and I told her, I'm not so sure about like showing myself working because I don't want to discourage people from booking with me because I'm black, you know. And she said, that's ridiculous, you know, like, if anything, if people are discouraged by you being black and those people don't want to book with you, well, then those are people that you don't want to lash. Those are clients that you don't want, because there's a big thing, you know, customer's always right. You know, that aspect of, you know, wanting to please the customer. But in an industry like lashing, where the market is heavily saturated, being a, you know, running my own business, I technically do get to choose my own clientele and choose who I market to. And I don't necessarily just have to, you know, to scrape the barrel and take whatever I can get. You know, I can be picky because I do provide a great service and a great, you know, a great product. So I was very nervous, but then I was like, you know what, I'm going to just put an introduction post of my face on there and just let people know where I'm from and what I'm about. And it was received with a lot of love. And I actually think I got more clients from, you know, one post than, you know, just hiding myself, because like, it's not a shameful thing. Like, I'm not ashamed of who I am, but a lot of people can get discouraged, as I said before, you know, based off of biases. And so that was like a little hurdle for me to get through because, you know, McGill is a PWI, and you know, you don't know how you're going to be received as a black woman. So yeah, but that ended up being fine. Another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about is like marketing to black women and providing like a service that they feel comfortable getting. And I feel like as black women, we have such like a, you know, inherently, you know, biased look, like, because like, you know, lashes were made popular by Black women. Like, a lot of the times they're seen as like ghetto and stuff like that, which I think is like a ridiculous concept, because like being like exaggerated and like showing you know yourself as a more like less natural, in the sense that, like, you know, they're not the lashes that grow out of your eyelid, but just more like refined and like retouched and more just creative. I don't think there's a problem with that. And I hate to use the term ghetto to describe anything about lashes, even if they are very full, even if they are very fluffy and you can see them from a mile away. Well, she paid for it, so I'm glad that I can see them and that they're there and that they're beautiful. So, yeah, I think lashes are a great way to, you know, make yourself feel beautiful and really express your personality. And there should be no biases, I think, put on girls who do wear lashes, white or black. And I think we should stop calling lashes ghetto and making women feel bad about their choices on what they decide to do with their body. It's our body and it's our choice what we decide to wear. And a lot of the times it's not even women that are saying stuff about, you know, our lashes or our nails. It's men. And it's none of their business. It's none of their business what we decide to put on. And so, yeah, I love doing lashes. I love, you know, talking to women. I'm so glad that this is, I mean, like, men can get lashes too, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. I will lash anybody who has a set of, you know, natural eyelashes to put extensions on. But it's a woman-centered business where, you know, I'm mostly working with women every day that come in and, you know, lie down on my lash bed. And it's amazing to talk to women and listen to their stories and just like hear them and really see them and see how they feel about their beauty and about themselves. And it's really empowering to know that, you know, it's a really judgmental free space. And sometimes I feel like I'm people's therapist. Like, they tell me things that I guess they wouldn't tell, you know, just their friends off bat, because I'm really just there to listen and, you know, to pamper you, to make you feel like a, you know, like the princess, the queen that you are. And I think everything has pretty much been said, you know, about lashing and about the biases that I have, you know, about how people are going to perceive me and about how people are going to perceive the lashes that I put on women. And, you know, a lot of older women, have the connotation that, you know, what we do, nails, hair, eyelashes, are for the male gaze. And if we as women really think about it, everything we do, you know, to make ourselves feel beautiful is for ourselves. It has nothing to do with the male gaze and, you know, trying to please men. Because our beauty is our own. It doesn't belong to men. And I love being in this industry. I love beauty. I love makeup. I love everything girly. And I'm so glad to be a lash tech. I don't even care if my back hurts from hours of sitting down in my chair. When I see a girl's face after, you know, getting her lashes put on and her eyes light up, it literally, like, my back automatically feels better. I don't feel one ounce of pain after I see how excited she is. And I get this overwhelming sense of pride that I was able to provide that for her. And there's nothing like a new manicure, a fresh set of lashes, and, you know, laid edges after you get your silk press or your braids done. So beauty is so much more than just, like, external, like the beauty that we create, you know, by putting lashes on and hair and blah, 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 is so much more than just external, you know. You get that inner sense of confidence, that little kick in your step. When you walk outside, you want people to see you and know that I got my lashes done by Chelsea and I love them. You want people to see you because you just feel so good on the inside. It's like these little things that you wouldn't even think of. They just heighten your sense of confidence. And like when you pamper yourself and treat yourself with lashes, it's a type of loving yourself, you know, treating yourself like how you should, because, you know, we are stuck in the same body for the rest of our lives. We might as well treat this, our vessel, like gold. Like, we might as well treat it like it's, you know, it's the best thing on the planet, you know, give it the best of everything. And, you know, just be beautiful. My whole business is about feeling beautiful with or without lashes. And I'm just so grateful that I was asked to give a little segment about lashing. If there's any questions, you guys can always DM me at lashes_by_chels_. And I hope you have a wonderful day and that you feel beautiful from the inside out.
Inside, inside. phone in. To all my plans, say they ain't happening. And next morning, I blow you up again. You ain't having it. Nah, you ain't having it. Says we ain't speaking, and I'm just about to get over it. But this evening, you blew me up again. I ain't having it. Nah, I ain't having it.
sun. Can you break sometimes?
Sometimes.
Can you break?
For the rain not to fall.
looking at me through my peripheral vision, pretty baby, as I ride on this empty road. I'm just looking for something to do. As if she was hungry, that she wanted to get food. And she said, nah, then she kissed me on my cheek. Next thing I know, she be feeling on me. And I was in the M-double-O-D. Then she said, park my car down the back street.
I hope your flowers bloom. I hope your flowers bloom. I hope your flowers bloom. I hope you grow up to be everything that you want to. I hope your flowers bloom. I hope your flowers bloom. Flowers bloom. I hope you grow up to be everything that you want to. I hope your flowers bloom. 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 I hope you grow up to be everything that you want to. I hope your flowers bloom. I hope your flowers bloom.
You're dressing like a Sunday morning, and your eyes look like little islands in the light. Hazel and like green and white cheese. You're pretty.
Yeah. deep in my throat. You put your hands in his show. You play him records I show. You read him Sylvia Plath. I thought that that was our thing. You know I like you like that. I hate that son of a bitch. Put on our moon shoes,
moon shoes, moon shoes.
Let's put on our moon shoes. From there they can choose shoes. Oh, I think we should dance now.
I think we should dance now.
I don't want them thinking that we cannot function in crowds. I think we should go now. They'll know I'm a clinger and prefer to linger and rather not have me around. I think this is happy. I think this is sad. I think this is laughing. I think this is glad. I think this is happy. I think this is sad. This is laughing. I think this is glad. Let's put on our moon shoes. From there they can choose shoes, shoes, shoes. Our own mood. Our own
mood. I think we should laugh now. See,
let's put on our moon shoes. From there they can choose shoes, shoes, shoes. Our own mood. This is happy. I think this is sad. I think this is laughing. I think this is glad. I think this is happy. I think this is sad. I think this is laughing. I think this is glad. I think this is happy. Is happy.
She gon' pull on me. Weinstein Wright, and I am the social coordinator for the Sociology and Anthropology Student Union at Concordia University. For Black History Month, we wanted to do an event that highlights and emphasizes Black voices in literature. I thought the best way to do this was by having a book giveaway to encourage the accessibility and distribution of Black-authored books. How it works is that each student in the department that applies to our raffle has a chance to win a book purchased from Distill, a local Montreal-based bookstore. As students of sociology and anthropology, we are hyper aware of the history and current issues around silencing and misrepresenting Black voices, especially as it pertains to our own discipline. We acknowledge that the culture of these communities, many times over, have been written about by white scholars, leading to the distortions of history while also often taking away the voice and agency of the communities. Throughout the years, our discipline has disregarded Black authors and Black theories. Although there has been a shift, we must recognize that it is still not enough. The purpose of giving away Black-authored books is to uplift these authors and make these books more accessible and visible within academic spaces. We are grateful that we can give our student body a way to consume these narratives for free. We believe that this event is also about encouraging critical thinking and hopefully emphasizing the gaps in society and academia that allows for the ongoing oppression of Black individuals. This is our small initiative within our department, but we encourage everyone to go out and read a Black-authored book.
Salut, ici Matt Trapp, vous écoutez CKUT 90.3 FM.
So I just wanted to get like your thoughts. So I just wanted to do like a quick introduction. So if you could just tell me a little bit about what you do, where you work, what your like parcours has been like.
Okay. So my name is Raphael Joseph. I'm 19 years old. I came here in Canada about almost 5 years ago, I think. I came here in like 2017. Yes, 5 years ago. I was 15 when I came here, and then I started going to school at Calixana Valley at Montreal North. So basically when I got here, I was a little bit like introverted a little bit because it was like a new country, a new setup, a new way of thinking. It was like basically, you know, I was like home and at school. homeschool, napping us. And then on my second year, I started doing volunteer work with Coup de Pouce Jeunesse Montréal Nord. That's when I really started to get really involved in the society. So I do a lot of activity with them. I do a lot of volunteer work, like with the elderly, and sometimes we'll be collecting food. Sometimes we deal with the police, and we collect food around like primary school to give to other people that are in need. And yes, that's basically what I do in this community.
That's great. And where were you coming from? What country were you coming from?
So basically, I came from the U.S., but I was in Haiti first. I was born in Haiti, then I moved to the U.S., and then I came here after that.
Cool. And would you say that there's like a really big difference like between the U.S. and Canada? Like, what have you found?
Absolutely. There's like a major difference. I can say the U.S. is more like a little bit controlled.